Everybody, it's another episode. She guys cover season and we're back. Fun week 10. A lot of great games.
Man, and it was terrible for me, man. My picks was garbage, man. A lot of things, a lot of factors in there, but let's get into it. It's your boy D Dubs and my guy
Easy Ollie.
Let's get it.
I was 5-0.
It's the first time this season, buddy.
5-0.
First time this season.
No one's perfect. No one's perfect.
No, you're right. You're right. You're right. No one's perfect. Perfect.
All the 5 games, picked them all right. Very close with some of the scores.
Yeah, very close. Very close. Me too. The scores that I had were very close. It was just, you know, on the wrong side.
Yep. Let's start first off with the Lions and the Bears. Mitchell Trubisky, solid game.
Mitch Trubisky.
One of his best games of the season. 173 yards passing, 3 touchdowns.
And a fumble. And a fumble.
He did have a fumble.
Mitch Trubisky throwing it out there, giving it up out the basket.
We won't harp on his fumble too much because they won.
They did.
And I think it was an important game for him because now he has confidence. That's what we talked about last time. He needed to build his confidence. He needed to play stronger. And I think that this win, a division win, is going to help him trend up. He was already down and he couldn't go any further. So now is the time for him to go up.
Yeah, with this one, I mean, I did pick the Lions, but that was before they made the call to not start Matt Stafford, which played a big decision in my pick. But Jeff Driskel held it up, but he is not Matt Stafford. He did not put up the 400 yards that I was expecting. 269 and a TD. He did his thing, but it wasn't enough. They didn't, especially with no running game. Man, the running game for the Lions, they better do something next year because they need help. Like I said, the last time I remember they had a good running game was Amir Abdullah. It was a long time ago. So they need to do something in that department ASAP. But on the Bears side, Trubisky, 173, 3 TDs and a fumble, not that bad. But his main connection was Allen Robinson, which was the key. 6 receptions for 88 yards. It helped them solidify this win. And the defense came up big time. They were able to get to Driskel a lot and made him feel the pressure. But he didn't turn the ball over, which was kind of interesting for them, to get to him that many times and not force him to turn it over.
Chicago's defense played a pretty good game all around. As much as Driskel was a factor throwing the football, they kind of contained him, which is kind of what you want. What I did like about the Bears is now they kind of have an idea of who their running back is. David Montgomery is the clear new lead back. He had a whole lot more carries than Cohen did. I don't even think Mike Davis had any carries. They're definitely trending up. The Chicago Bears are, and we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens in the coming weeks. I think that at this point of the season, it's time to evaluate and prepare for next season. But you never know. Anything can happen. There's still a lot of football left, and we'll see what happens with them. As far as the division rivals of these two teams go, the next game of the week, another game that, of course, picked right, my guy, Go Pack Go, Aaron motherfucking Rodgers.
Slow Aaron down on the motherfucking Rogers. Because the motherfucking really didn't really happen that much. Let's be honest with ourselves. This was not a great game for Aaron Rodgers. It was not.
Aaron.
Let's put it this way. 233 yards. That is mediocre and no TDs. None. That is very very mediocre for Aaron Rodgers. You can't even say that like it was a great performance by him. Offensively, they did well because Aaron Jones, again, 3 TDs. Devontae Adams was able to come back to true form with his
play. And who threw the football to Devontae Adams? And all those other receivers. And the and five other receivers all who those, caught the football.
All those other receivers.
And moved the ball.
Hold on a second. Aaron Rodgers had 233 yards. Davante Adams had 118 of those yards. So what are you talking about? Exactly. It wasn't a great game for Aaron Rodgers. It was not a great game. It was very mediocre.
He is a fearless leader, and he led them to victory on the sideline with that smug smile on his face.
He actually did not have a smile.
Of this team.
If you look at the post interview, they did not score in the red zone.
Aaron
they did not score Rodgers. One passing TD in the red zone. They all the touchdowns came from, again, Aaron Jones and his running game and the ability of Williams to also help carry the load. This was not a great game for them passing-wise. It was great for Davante Adams to get his true to the form, but 223, that's mediocre for Aaron Rodgers, and that's your guy. You should know, that's mediocre. What is Aaron Rodgers average almost all the time?
What? You know
275
what wasn't
plus.
Mediocre? You know what wasn't mediocre? That W.
That W is still a W. You're right. You're absolutely right. But guess what, though?
You know what?
Who are they playing? Who are they playing? Which is the real reason it is something to look at. They're playing the Panthers.
Carolina hasn't been no joke this season.
They
Christian
have
McCaffrey
not.
Has been tearing people up all season long.
But Christian McCaffrey doesn't play defense. Christian McCaffrey doesn't play defense.
100 yards.
Christian McCaffrey does not play defense.
They're still a formidable opponent. They played a solid team. They were in striking distance of winning the game. Kyle Allen led them down the field to potentially win the game.
Kyle Allen had a great game. Let's give it up for Kyle Allen.
Did he win? He didn't have a great game if he lost. He did not have a great game if he lost.
Well, you could call it how I see it. He still had a good game. 307 yards, one TD, and an interception. Now they did win, but the fact that you said they were in striking distance of winning the game, that does not mean that the Packers had a great game. That means that they almost lost the game.
Well, I mean, they had a chance to of course, win the game. They drove down the field. Kyle Allen, there were a couple of questionable calls at the end of the game. Of course, that helped them get to the end of, that far down the field. But let's, mistake it. Green Bay's defense played an excellent game. They were tough on the back end. They got most of those yards on the last couple of drives. They really did not put together a good game on the Carolina Panthers' end.
You just said it yourself. They did not put a good game together for the Carolina offense. On top of that, Carolina was able to stop them on a third on the goal line.
Not the Green Bay Packers weren't able to plan for them. Carolina did not do well offensively. Green Bay's defense repeatedly, Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith repeatedly were in the backfield, stopping McCaffrey, getting tackles for a loss. Darnell Savage made a couple of big plays. Kevin King made a couple of big plays.
They better be. This was Christian McCaffrey's worst game of the season, and he still put up a buck.
It doesn't matter. They lost the game.
Lost the game.
He could have had 300 yards
what
if
really
they
matter,
lost the game.
The real question is, your MVP candidate, so-called Aaron Rodgers, still almost lost to the Carolina Panthers. And the week before that, they had a loss to an even worse team. So,
Let's get this straight.
He had an okay game.
Go, Pack, go. He is the legit leader of this team. He's legit. Even though he didn't throw a touchdown, he still led the team repeatedly, drive after drive after drive. He's legit, man.
I mean,
if they had a backup quarterback,
the leader
if they had
of the
a backup
team,
quarterback
does not mean
in
that he had a great game. Just
if
because
he,
he's
if
the
they
leader
had a
of the team,
backup
does not mean
quarterback.
He's great. He's been on the team for how long now? He better be the leader. He better be motivating the team. He's the leader of the team. That's an irrelevant statement. That does not make him have a better game than what he had. He did not have a great game, especially inside the red zone. If you want to talk about his stats are mediocre compared to what he usually does in other games.
You know what his stats are?
Hands down.
His stats are 233 yards passing and a W. That's what his stats are for this weekend. It doesn't matter if he threw five picks this game. They got the W, and that was the biggest. they're the number two seed right now. They're the number two seed right now in the NFC. If they happen to topple San Francisco next week, they become the number one seed in the NFC. That's how well they've been playing. That's how well he's been playing all season.
It all depends on how Seattle does in the next couple of weeks, because if they topple the 49ers, but Seattle wins, Seattle will be number one in the NFC.
Go, Pack, go.
Well, with that being said, on to the next game. Go ahead, Ali.
I told you about this game. We talked about this game before the show last week. The Steelers and the Rams. And the Steelers, I'm telling you, man, the Steelers are playing with a lot of heart. Pittsburgh, very proud football, you know, city. The fans were loud, going crazy. Even in playing in LA, there were a lot of Steelers fans. Like, you know, they really stepped up. They didn't run the ball particularly well, not having James Conner in there. But Mason Rudolph played a solid game. He played what I would call a very, very clean game. 242 yards, one passing touchdown, and no interceptions. A clean, effective, efficient game. And the defense played lights out, man.
The defense wins this game. Minka Fitzpatrick with his two TDs and one of them was a pick six is what really saved them. Without that pick six, they're in trouble, because offensively they weren't running the ball well. Juju Smith-Schuster was nowhere to be found. Their number one target was Washington. Now, if your number one receiver is not doing well, you have other places to go, but your defense helped really pick up the slack. They did it against a Rams offense that is very high, that's high powered, but you also got to look at the Rams offensive line missing you know, various components, with their center being out, and I also believe their guard was out as well. The Rams are not healthy. They're not healthy, and with the limited amount of carries that Todd Gurley is getting, it's something that they need to look at and go on the board and say, what are we going to do? This load management is not helping your team. If Todd Gurley ain't healthy, you need to put somebody back there that is healthy. But again, big up to the Steelers. They did their thing defensively. They were able to shut down the Rams offense, but the Rams offense didn't help themselves either. You know, it is what it is. They got the dub. Good job, Steelers.
And of course, you know, with the Rams, you're right. You're 100% right. I think they've been misleading everybody. I think something might still be wrong with Todd Gurley, to be quite honest with you. I just don't know what. I think he's past the knee issue, from, you know, the end of last season. I think there's just something else. Maybe he's not comfortable in the offense. You know, maybe there's something else going on in terms of, you know, not trusting their offensive line to open up holes. They did make a trade at the deadline to try to beefing up and you know, get that offensive line together. But we're not seeing anything come out of that. I would like to see the Rams do better. We were talking about receivers earlier. I think they have a nice trio of receivers.
Yeah, but Brandon Cooks was out last week.
Even with him being out, you know, I think that they still have solid guys. Cooper Kupp, Gerald Everett, Robert Woods, and Josh Reynolds, who he had a big catch for them against the Steelers last week. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they move forward as far as the Steelers go. I think once they get healthy and get everybody going, I think that, you know, they're going to secure a wild card spot. With the teams that they're competing with now, I think the only threat to them is the Indianapolis Colts. But I think the Steelers are balling. They have a lot of momentum going for them right now. And I think that they can keep pushing.
You're absolutely right. And with that, we go on to the next game. The Vikings and the Cowboys. Now, I called this. I called this. I called this. I called this.
I think this
Now,
is almost the score that you picked too. I think this is the same score that you picked.
I believe the score I picked was I had 32 to 21, but it was close. It was very, 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 very close. But I mean, 28-24. Still close enough, especially in, the point differential. But let's not get it twisted. The main issue that the Dallas Cowboys are facing now is identity. Ezekiel Elliott, 47 yards on 20 carries. That is a big issue for $100 million man. I mean, it happens. There are going to be games where, offensively you get shut down. But this is the second time that Zeke has been held to less than 50 yards in less than in less than the last five games. So that is an issue. Your offensive line is not holding up. Dak had a decent game, but you can't it came down to him trying to make plays and do things that Dak is forcing now. Dak is forcing, interception shows it, but 397 and three TDs. Randall Cobb stepped up. Amari Cooper did big, 11 receptions, 147 and a TD. But at the end of the day, your running game is what comprises this offense. Your offense is based on the success on Ezekiel Elliott. You're not a striking offense where you don't have a run game and your receivers are the ones that are carrying you the whole way. That's not Dallas. They have never been that way. They are a running offense first, and they could not establish that. And that's what ultimately led to their loss. Kirk Cousins was Kirk Cousins. 220 and two TDs. He's still rolling. He's still doing his thing. Dalvin Cook, 26 carries for 97 yards and a TD. And he also had the most receiving yards, seven receptions for 86 yards. Dalvin Cook was the MVP for the Minnesota Vikings on this one.
And we've known this for a few seasons now that the Minnesota defense is no joke. They're a legit football team. They're well balanced all around offense, defense, and special teams. They have a great leader in Coach Zimmer, who no nonsense football guy. Kirk Cousins, like you said, he's just been phenomenal the last few weeks. He's definitely, without a doubt, I think, in the MVP discussion. There is not a discussion about MVP that should not consider Kirk Cousins this season. As much as I know that it hurts Redskins fans to hear that, he is playing like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now. He's
Yeah,
been
even with his
accurate.
slump.
Yeah, he's been accurate. He's been efficient. And the biggest thing, he is not turning the football over.
Yep.
He's had games where he's thrown for 300, over 330 yards consecutively. I think it was three or four games in a row where he did it without a turnover. That's incredible. In each of those games, he had three or more touchdowns. That's incredible. He's been playing at a phenomenal pace. He's the leader in the league in completions, yards. I think he just gets the job done. On the other hand, for Dallas, we kind of don't know who they are. They don't know who they are. At the beginning of the season, I was all for it. I thought that they were probably the best team in football. I thought that they were ready to make that next leap. But I don't think they are just yet. They don't play well against good teams. They play phenomenal against bad teams, but don't play well against good teams.
That was rhetorical.
Yeah, I mean they just don't. And in their position right now, the only thing that they have going for them is that they have a great division record, and they have a chance to win the division. That's the only thing they got going for
That's
them
the
right
only
now.
thing when it comes to the
And I
rest of the
think,
NFC is they really have a problem.
and I think they need to figure that part out. For Minnesota, I think that they have a chance, of course, to secure the wild card. It's so close to Green Bay. Like we talked earlier, If the food, if the food doesn't get fed to the right dog, then the wrong dog is gonna get it, you know? So they have a chance to go ahead and capture that first seed, from Green Bay. So we'll see what happens.
You're absolutely right. You know, the Minnesota Vikings, they're right behind the Packers in the division. They're only one win away from taking the NFC North. And that is a very real possibility for the Packers. So the Packers need to, you know, step up. I know you said, you know, Aaron Rodgers, you know, great game. He did not have a great game, but he definitely needs to be looking in the rear view, because Kirk Cousins is coming. He coming 100 miles an hour, and he's coming real soon.
And of course, as we go to the game of the week, the game that mattered more than any other game, the game that everyone came to see, the Seattle Seahawks in San Francisco at Levi Stadium going against the San Francisco 49ers, and what a damn game that was.
Listen here, Ali. Listen here.
MVP.
This
MVP.
game, this
MVP,
game was
MVP.
the game of the season. This was playoff-esque, Super Bowl-esque, down to the wire, the nitty-gritty. This is what football looks like. This is what football is. Two teams undeniably wanting the win. And of course, one got it. The Seattle Seahawks came out on top. And you know what? My score was so close. I had it, you know, 20, 24 to 28 to the 49ers, but it was the other way around. It was 27 to 24, Seattle. Now, this game was phenomenal from start to finish. Defensively, it was incredible to watch. The turnovers on both sides of the ball were crazy. Seattle gave up the ball 5 times. The 49ers gave up the ball 4 times. Jimmy G had 2 fumbles. 2 fumbles. He's got the Daniel Jones fumbleitis. He had it that night, but he still put up a great game. Debo Samuel, 8 receptions for 112 yards, came out and decided he was going to be the number one receiver that night, and he was. The amount of defensive TDs on both sides, incredible. The grab and scoop by Jadeveon Clowney just shows how ready that this Seattle defense is for any team that they are going to face. The fact that the forefront was able to stop the running game of the 49ers, which have been the top rushing offense this season, is incredible. Now, I got a few gripes for this one. A few gripes. Now, undoubtedly, Russell Wilson is in the conversation for MVP. For sure, one of the top candidates. But the officiating in this game, there are some issues and mistakes that happen that should not have happened. And it doesn't come down to the officiating only on the field, but also in New York as well. The coin toss. Now, everybody's going to say, oh, he said this, he said that. I got Dolby surround sound in my system, in my TV entertainment system. Clearly said tails. Clearly played it over and over. The refs played it, gave it to him heads. Now, Richard Sherman, Harvard man, should be able to pick up on this, but that's neither here nor there. Just shows that the officiating was not at the greatest. It wasn't at 100%. And this, in a game like this, this is where it matters. Now, the 49ers being on defense first go around in OT, that's fine with me. The second thing that I have wrong with this game is the review at 3 minutes and 26 seconds when Mostert does his 2 yard run and gets a first down. Now, the officials on the field are not don't make the decisions. This comes from Dean Blandino and the officiating crew in New York. Watching this over and over, the momentum of Mostert crossing the first down marker, you can see it on a TV, you can see it from different angles. It clearly crosses and he is pushed under the pile. Now, if you could see it clear on TV, I know they could see it better in New York. For them to not get this call right definitely determined the outcome of this drive. Now, hey, it is what it is. You know, what's his name? Chase McLaughlin goes out and shanks it wide left. That's on Chase. But that is a crucial, crucial call that they missed.
Oh, yeah. And I know we had our concerns about that. You know, the flags and, of course, the fourth down where Mostert tried to get the first down and, you know, it didn't even get to them. And it happens. We've seen it happen over and over again over the course of this season where officials are missing calls and making calls that don't make no sense at all. But we cannot let that take away from Russell Wilson's performance. He was spot on. He did have a few turnovers.
But he had an interception again this game.
He commanded this offense. He rallied the team, and he got them down the field. Even at the end of the first half, when DK Metcalf had the football stripped from him, even at that point, he still was leading his team, you know, to make a play, to make something happen. So I think that he's been that damn good this whole entire season. There hasn't been a quarterback on his level this whole year so far. He's played very well. He has them at an 8-2 record pace. Now they are definitely on pace to take this division. I've been saying it all season. I thought that they were going to be the division winners in the West. I think with Russell Wilson and that combination and, of course, chemistry he has, not only with, you know, his receivers and teammates, and but it's his relationship with Pete Carroll. He's a direct extension of Pete Carroll on the field, and it just works out. Now with Tyler Lockett going out, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. Josh Gordon did get on some snaps. I think what his snap count was 23 or 27, something like that. So he was able to get on the field. I only expect him to get on the field much more and produce much more for them. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Lockett's injury and how it develops. But like I said, you know, I definitely think that the Seahawks are trending up. I think they're a legit team. I think that they are the division winners for the NFC West. And I like what I'm seeing from them. I really do.
And with that, got to look at some other things with this game. Now, Russell Wilson did great, but San Francisco had the opportunity to take advantage of their last possession. So even after the missed field goal, you go out there, you stop them, you get the ball back, you stop them again, and then you get the ball back again with a minute 20 left. You got a minute 20, and you have the most dangerous man behind the center right now in Russell Wilson. You give him the opportunity to go and do what he does best, and that's coming in clutch. He didn't play shortstop for no reason. He's that guy. He loves living in that moment. He loves getting those scoops and slinging it for those last second drives. Kyle Shanahan fumbled this all the way around. You are an 8-0 team, and you have the opportunity to either to try and get down the field or give the most considered the most dangerous quarterback right now the opportunity to score with time left. Now, the play calls were abysmal. I don't understand it at all. You go for three passes directly back to back to back with no even consideration for the clock or the fact that you still had a timeout. You didn't even try to continue to gain momentum on your running game, because in the second half, your running game what was picking up a little bit. Mostert was beginning to feel himself. He had fresh legs. And Breida was able to, you know, capitalize on a couple runs here and there. Tevin Coleman, you know, even though he was limited to 40 yards, he still was able to do a little something here and there. For you to not even consider to take the tie and keep your standing as is in the division, it shows that the coaching was not really. Yeah, you want to go for a win. Everybody wants to go for a win, but with the nature of how overtime works, sometimes it's better to take a tie than to take a loss. And guess what? That's exactly what they did.
Yeah, and I understand not wanting to, you know, keep on passing, but you have to pass the football. You need to get absolutely down the field. I think it's just all about calling the right plays at the right time. I think you do need to get some sort of combination and mix of a pass and a run.
That's exactly what should have happened.
You know, set up the play action or maybe a screen here or there, but you're still going to need to pass. I think that what Kyle Shanahan wanted to do was get Garoppolo in a rhythm, especially running a 2-minute offense, man. A lot of people don't talk about it, man, but in a 2-minute offense, you want to have rhythm. You want to be able to, you know, be on a dime, you know, and be on the same page with your receivers. And you know, running backs, you want to be able to keep that pace going. So if you don't have any type of rhythm, then you're going to struggle running that 2-minute offense. And I think that that's what Kyle Shanahan was trying to do. Get him quick throws, quick drag routes, you know, shallow routes going across, just to see if he can pick something up, just to give him some type of rhythm. And you know, as you can see, the first two plays were those type of plays. So, you know, going over the middle, you know, things to get him in rhythm and get guys involved. I think that's what they were trying to do. Of course, it hurt them, but I think that they had to pass the football in that situation. You want to at least make up as much ground and burn as much clock as you possibly can, especially because, yes, you don't want Russell Wilson. You don't, not only because of his passing ability, but just because of his ability to break down the defense and run and scramble. He's just so much of an issue. So you don't want to give him that opportunity. But you know, of course, it cost him in the end. You know, he drove down. You know, got them the points that they needed, and the victory is for the Seahawks.
Yeah, that was the best game I have watched all season. This is the football that I want to watch all the time. I wish we can get it every game, but it is what it is. This was a great game. It went down to the last minute, literally. And I can't wait to see some more. The NFC is about to turn up. No more undefeated teams in the league. And this loss right here is a shakeup.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a shakeup. And it's going to definitely shake things up in the NFC. It's wide open. It's wide open now. So many teams with so many opportunities to get that top spot, with, you know, maybe only two wins max separating maybe three or four teams. So it's definitely going to be something interesting to watch. And, of course, as we come to an end, just as much as you guys hate hitting the end button and exiting out of the app, just as much as we hate ending these shows, we really appreciate you guys. Thank you for the tweets and the picks this week. You know, we got a couple of people that were real close to nailing all the picks of the week, and we really appreciate that, of course.
Yeah, keep it coming. We love to see all the picks and all the input that you guys have. Continue to leave us messages on all our platforms. And it's your boy D-Dub, and it's my guy
Easy Ollie. You already know it's time to go.
Later.